In the precious name of Jesus, count it a privilege to be here with you in this place, in this way. And we have this opportunity this morning to gather and to worship our Creator God, in the Spirit and in truth. Appreciated and was blessed this morning with all the what the Lord brought to us already through our brethren. I was thinking of the training up our children in the way that they should go, and then when they're old, they will not depart from it. I was thinking of that this morning, and I just happened to notice that as we have children's lessons periodically here, and that most of the children tend to sit about in be a few feet this way or that way. But if you take note, you know, they sit about in the same place. And no one has ever told them they should sit when they come up here. And I believe, you know, we're creatures of habit. We're habitual people, and that can be good, and it also can be worse. But I was just thinking of that, and I think in light of training up our children. And so you could take that application in all the issues of life, in our homes, in all the issues that we instruct and train our children, from outward appearance to the discipleship of training them to read their Bibles daily. All those things apply, and they will, as we train them up, then when they are, they will not depart from it. And so that was a blessing to me as I thought of that. And I know that also I was thinking of, appreciated Brother Jerry's children's lesson there on this, on the consideration of the ant. That's a beautiful example. I was just thinking of that. And as I stepped outside here a minute, why stepped out the door, and there's thousands of ants right outside the door. And, you know, sometimes we consider them a pest, you know, especially when they come in and in our houses. But they're just doing their job. They're just doing what God ordained them to do. And I do appreciate that, how they just go about their work and they don't get sidetracked with a lot of distractions as we humans do. But they are busy about the work that they were put here to do. And so I was... applications that were brought out. Children... and that we would not forget those things. So I was just blessed by that here this morning. And I was just thinking of what I could share here this morning with you all. And it seems like the Lord gave me some direction that I would like to share one of Jesus' teachings there. I think it's in Luke chapter 10. But first, I wanted to go over to Leviticus 19. I think it's verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. There's a verse there that says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Okay, is that better? "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And I was just, I think that's the first time that that's written in the Old Testament, in the law. And I just see it as a You know, James calls it a royal law. And I was just blessed by that. James 2:8 says, "For if ye fulfill the royal law, according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself," then he says, "ye do well." And so this morning, I believe all of us here want to do well in our walk with the Lord. And I was just thinking, you know, it says, James says, "For ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture." And the Scripture I'm talking about there is the Old Testament. According, anytime it says according to the Scripture, it's referring back to the Old Testament. Seems like it's fading out, in and out there. But so as I was considering that, you know, sometimes, you know, in that was a major concern throughout all time. It started with way back in Genesis, you know, with the ability to walk together as brethren and those things. And it's been, you know, something that man has struggled with for since man was on this earth. And so it is a very elementary problem or teaching, but I believe that we are creatures that we forget, and we continuously need to look at this, because many times we do so poorly at it. And then also, I was thinking of that, you know, when we think of loving our neighbor as ourself, you know, that's, how hard could that be? And then we also have the element where we come to the place where we kind of at times we think, well, that's just, yeah, how do we want to talk about love, you know? And they think, well, that's, why don't we talk about real issues? But I think that that's needful, and I think that that's important. But I also think that if my heart cringes when I hear someone speak of the love of God and what he has done for me and what he wants to do for you, then you're probably not in the love of God. Because the Bible says in 1 John 4, for God is love. And if he is love, then if we, you know, and the other thing, we may have a wrong perception of what love is. Love is, you know, 1 Corinthians tells us that, but love is also confronts evil. And also, love worketh no ill with his neighbor, Romans 13:10. And love worketh no ill with his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So I was just pondering over that, how, you know, that if God is love, that if we feel like you know, teaching about loving our neighbor is elementary, then I don't think we've got the point. We haven't quite got to where we understand why this is such a big thing and why it has been happening since Genesis, and James calls it the royal law. And then he says, if you obey this, you do well. You know, the first, it's also the second commandment. The first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I was just pondering over some of those thoughts, and I just thought I would want to, at this time, turn over to Luke chapter 10. Maybe before I begin here, well, we'll have a word of prayer. Yes, Lord, we do bow in your presence here this morning, thanking you for Jesus. That is why we're here this morning. That is why we have risen from our sleep this morning off of our pillows. You've given us grace and strength to come here in this place. And because of these things, we want to worship you in the spirit and in truth here this morning. We thank you so much, Lord, for this day. I pray, Lord, that you would teach me your word today. Father, I pray that you would edit this message that you've laid upon my heart, and that you would teach me how to how that love worketh no ill with his neighbor. And how this is the royal law, and it's also the fulfilling of the law. So help us today, Lord, that we would have a balanced message, that we would have a balanced view of who you are and how great your love is for humanity. And that it would rub off on us, and that we would therefore go forth in truth and in spirit to teach men these things. And so I do thank you for this voluntary society that we can gather with this morning, and that we can encourage ourselves and exhort and admonish one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. So I'm asking that you would guide and direct us, and according to your gospel, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 10, 25 to 37. And behold, a certain lawyer, expert in the law, you could say, stood up and tempted or tested Jesus, saying, Master or teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this is the age-old question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he had departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. He said, go and do thou likewise. Remember, he asked him the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he gave them this story. Some believe it was a parable, and others believe that it was a story about an actual happening. I think that's beside the point. But I want to take a look at this morning and trust that the Lord can use some of these applications and some of these things that Jesus said here to speak into my life and to the life of the body of Christ here about not having any ill with my neighbor. As we think of, somehow it was a good thing that this Samaritan did. He did a good thing. And somehow it has been, got the name the Good Samaritan. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. Although scripture doesn't teach us that he was the good Samaritan. He just says he's Samaritan. But anyway, today as I was thinking over this and pondering this scripture, and I thought also that, Jesus, he thought it important enough to have Luke pen this in chapter 10 of Luke. And so maybe he wants us, did Jesus really mean every word he said? And why did he spend this time talking to this man about loving his neighbor? And I think he saw that it was a need in his life. And there's many other scenarios of, the rich man. And there's all of them. But Jesus meant every word he said, so I believe that if it's in the Gospels, if it's in the Bible, that we should teach on it and look at it for our lives. So we can say this morning that we have good Samaritan everything. Many of us, if you look around, there's good Samaritan ministries, there's all kinds of good Samaritan helicopters, nursing homes, hospitals, it goes on and on. And as I was thinking of this, I just happened to come across this, that in most states in the U.S. here, there's a Good Samaritan law. And I just want to read here what this Good Samaritan law is about, and we'll talk about it a little bit. But in pondering that, we have people that claim the Bible is not true. I know there's no one here this morning that does that, but in me, the Bible's not true. But yet, why does almost every state in the union have a law called the Good Samaritan Law that's based off of this story? So yet almost every state has what they call the Good Samaritan Law that protects the person who stops to help someone in a medical emergency. Before this law was passed, victims were suing rescuers for broken ribs from receiving CPR, etc. This law states that any rescuer, non-professional or professional, is protected from legal lawsuits as long as the rescuer does not abandon the victim after beginning care and is not negligent or reckless by acting in good faith, just doing what he can for him in good faith and does not receive any compensation of any form. So I was pondering over this, and I was thinking, this is also a faith builder, that many of the people that say the Word of God is not true, why does almost every state have this law that protects Christians or otherwise just normal people who want to help someone? And by the way, there's a lot of, hero type scenarios that happen that I think are out of line with, helping people. But nonetheless, there are people that drive up to burning cars, and there's people in there that are trapped, and they are just there. God obviously puts them there at the right moment, and they jump out of their vehicle, and they yank this person out that's unconscious or whatever, and he's saved from certain death. And many of those acts, but there was a kind of a problem with that, because then after that, people would take those people to court to try to get money from them just as a way of a sue happy society instead of a kingdom voluntary society. But anyway, so this was interesting to me that Jesus, this is a teaching from Jesus. Jesus Christ himself instituted or said this to this man that wanted eternal life, and how that has stuck down through the ages and to this very day. And so I feel like that's a faith builder for and a witnessing tool that we can use. And also for those of us who are brave enough to do those things, many of us have driven up to accidents where people are laying around and people are hurt and severely injured, and some people are more gifted at just going in and helping, and other people are more, that's not their gift necessarily. And so I just want to encourage those here this morning that have that gift of coming to an accident scene and just stepping in and helping those that need help. Because you can do it in good faith because the Lord told us to do it. And besides that, the laws of the land are behind you. So I thought that was encouraging. And I also thought of, it's also, many times we hear the negative of our society. But one of the blessings of our society is this very thing, that they still protect you to help people in that way. And also that most people still care when someone's laying along the road from an accident or otherwise. But, I think Abner Kaufman told the story of how he went to visit his brother Melvin here this winter. And they were in this bus, and they seen an accident, and they seen a man laying along the road, and no one stopped. Everybody just went right on. And just, I think even some of them mocked and laughed about it. And it was just, it shocked him, But I guess obviously in Tanzania, the society has gotten to the point where, human life is so far down that people just drive over people and there's no regard for life. And so we want to praise God that that's still not that way here in the U.S. So we could say that, just going back to the parable here, that this injured man, you know, he was, you could say he is mankind in the fallen state of man. You know, he's fallen along the way, you know, and the need of the hour is to bring the gospel to these people around us that are laying along the way, wounded and hurting and can't find salvation, can't find the Lord Jesus, and have no hope of eternal glory. And so this, talking about this road between Jerusalem and Jericho there, it was a very dangerous road. It was winding and very steep, treacherous, and it had many places for robbers and thieves to hide. And I had to think of applying that to today, you know, this walk of life. You know, I had to think of these two cities. You know, if you think of, you know, the walls of Jerusalem, you know, here, and then I think it was, and then over here, there was Jericho over here. And from what I understand, there's about 3,300 feet difference. You know, this is Jerusalem is up, and then Jericho is down here. And so there was a winding mountainous path that goes down to this lower city. And these people would go back and forth, and people would wait for them and try to ambush them and kill them along the way. And I had to think of that, you know, this morning, you know, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the church, the body of Christ. And, you know, and this is the world out here, you know, and as people go out into, as we go from day to day in our daily endeavors, you know, we are on that mountainous, slippery path of life. And there's much danger there, but we know that as we walk through in this Christian life, that there's also lots of security in Christ and our brother, and not having any ill with our brother. It was also called the Way of Blood. That road was called the Way of Blood. From my understanding today, you can travel down to Jericho there in maybe 15 minutes. I haven't been there, but it's about a 17-mile long journey that you can travel. But going on to verse 30 there in Luke 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And I also thought of the interesting part of that law, this Good Samaritan law, that says that if you begin to help someone that is stranded along the road or along the way, that you cannot abandon them. That would make you, where, you know, put you in a position where they could use a lawsuit against you. But if you stick with them until the EMS or whatever comes. So, you know, I had to think of that, how this man, you know, he stuck with this person that was laying along the way until he was able to help him and took him to the inn. So verse 30 there, you know, those robbers, they could be Satan attacking man with the intent of destroying his relationship with God and with the church of Jesus Christ. You know, there's lots of spiritual battle in this life. And I talked to a brother recently that we met with for a few hours and from another state, and he was telling me, he says, ask him how it's going. And, you know, many times we all say, well, going good, you know. We have our battles. But this brother, he shared something that kind of stuck with me. He said that the battle and the warfare that we are in today is very intense. And he said it's very fierce. And I've been pondering over that, and I believe that's true. I believe that We're in a war this morning, whether we know it or not, and for the battle, for the good and for the right. And the enemy will use whatever he can to try to put us out of the way. And so we want to be on guard and to follow the Lord. So in another way to see this is that we can also have the attitude of the robbers if we're not careful. We may not physically beat up or rob others, but we may sow discord among others, gossip, take advantage of others, you know, our brothers and sisters, and that's not our heart here this morning. I understand that. But yet, at times, we find ourselves in situations where we wish weren't like that. And as I was also thinking of that along with gossip, you know, I was just thinking of there's times when when I believe the enemy manufactures something in my mind or your mind about a brother or about a sister. And, you know, there's times when you just start to believe it. You know, there's times when you think, yeah, he's got a beam in his eye. And he said, and you start looking at him and you watch him a little extra close on Sundays or whenever you meet him and you start watching him and yeah, I can see the beam. His eye's starting to water already, you know. And those things are very real. And I don't want to take away from the need for admonishment. The scripture is clear on that, that if we see a brother erring, we are called and our duty, true love, will go admonish him and say, brother, you're going the wrong way. And so I'm not taking away from that. But I just want to take away from the work of the enemy that manufactures imaginations and things that want to exalt themselves above God and above the truth to cause conflict. And one of those areas, I believe, is, okay, I've had a bad thought about a brother or a sister. And so I feel in my heart like, I should go tell them, just confess it to them. Yeah, I've been thinking bad about you, you know. But that sounds really spiritual and it sounds really noble or humble, but it's not casting down imaginations. You know, the Bible says if we have a bad thought about this person to go tell them, what are they going to do with it? What are they going to do with it? Oh, he's got, you know, a bad thought to him. What should I do? And it wasn't necessarily like, okay, you did something. I saw you run someone off the road last week down at on 37. Nothing like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Just things that I've thought in my mind about another brother, about something he may have shared. Now, if I have concerns, those are valid, and it's okay to talk about it. But just to manufacture something in your mind or allow the enemy to and go and tell them, I've had bad thoughts about you. I believe that is a work of the enemy, and I believe it needs to be dealt with. It just needs to be, when you have a bad thought like that, you need to cast it down. You need to say, that's not of God. I love my brother. I want to love my neighbor and speak no ill of him and think no ill of him. And so I believe that that's something that we would do well to continue to do. And there again, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about not confronting a brother about or a sister about a certain sin or fault that they are doing, but just things that I have thought about them. So going on here, you know, about gossip and those type of things. Those are very subtle things, and I believe there's a reason why that's the fulfilling of the law of speaking no ill of our neighbor. Love worketh no ill in his neighbor. The verse Romans 13:10 there. Therefore, love is a fulfilling of the law. So going on here, the lawyer, verse 30, 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side. And so we can see here that these men, you know, they wanted to do right and they wanted to help, but they came along and they just couldn't do it. They just, for one, either they were otherwise occupied or whatever, but they just kind of left him lay along the way. And so we could say this lawyer that's someone who, he was an expert in the Old Testament law. And, this other man, he was asking Jesus the question, what must I do to be saved? And he said, kind of like the rich young ruler. And so Jesus asked him, you know, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? And Jesus doesn't give the man the answer, but rather says to him, you know the law, and what does it say? The man gives the answer, and then Jesus responds by saying, go and do likewise. Some are troubled by this answer, but we need to understand that Jesus is not saying that he could have been saved by the law. He is reminding him of what the law says. The law requires not only that one keep the law, but that he keep it perfectly. The law must be kept without omissions or failures. To be justified under the law, one must keep it perfectly. It's like God's holiness. Jesus wants the lawyer to see that law cannot save anyone because no one can keep the law perfectly. As James wrote there, he said that, you know, you can keep all the law, and if you offend in one point, you're guilty of it all. And also in verse 29, but he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? He was trying to shift the blame. He was trying to say, you know, who is my neighbor? And, why did he ask this question? He wanted to justify himself. You know, he was measuring himself against the commands, and he figured that he met the first one well enough, and the keeping of the second one, you know, it was depending on how he defined the word neighbor. And he was asking, how much do I have to love? You know, my neighbor, basically, is what he was asking. And we're often like the lawyer in the way we try to reduce God's commands to something we can live with. We would like to believe that my loving neighbor means loving. We would like to believe that loving my neighbor means loving people who love me, or at least loving people who are lovable. And so, you know, the lawyer, the original question was, what do I have to do to be saved, to get in? And Jesus' answer is to tell him what someone who is already in looks like. Like many of us, the lawyer knew the right answers, but he was totally unprepared for Jesus' story about the compassion and what it really looks like. And then so he told him at the end, he said, go thou and do likewise, you know. And the lawyer left without any excuse, you know, that he wanted. He wanted to have excuses that he did enough or he did good enough. But Jesus didn't give him that. And so we can say this morning that, you know, these men were traveling back and forth there. Many of them would work at the temple there. One was a priest, it says, that he went to the temple. And, you know, he may have just that very day, he may have heard this preached in the temple. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And many of those things. But, you know, he was like you and I in a way. We forget what we're doing at times or who we are. And he was just going past this needy soul. And he left him lying along the way. He had often read in the law, you know, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, and the priest of all, you know, he was considered the holiest among the Jews. You know, they're the ones that went taught the scriptures and went back in, you know, do the sacrifices, and you know, they were the top, you could say, and yet he missed it. So if anyone was going to reflect the character of God, it would have been this priest, but he missed it. And so, you know, many times each day as we go about our work, you know, there's opportunities that God sets before us. He sets before us, you know, every meeting, every divine appointment, you could say, that we meet. And many times I'll be the first to say I miss a lot of them. And I just want to, my heart is that I would miss less of them and be more in tune with the Spirit of God in this area. But, you know, just to also illustrate this, there was a certain seminary that conducted a study with their student body, and they asked each person, they asked them, all their students, to prepare a message on the Good Samaritan. Then they, when on break, they asked these men, they gave them a break, and then out front they had a man that, you know, he feigned a heart attack on the sidewalk in front of the students as they were going back their way to preach this message about the Good Samaritan. And in every instance, the students stepped around this man in need, and they had something they needed to do. They needed to go do a job. You know, I had to go preach this message. And that kind of spoke to me as well. You know, many times we're running away to church. You know, I got to go to prayer meeting, and all of a sudden this person stops me along the road or calls me or something. And I'm so busy, you know, wanting to go do what I think I should do that I forget that maybe God is wanting to work in someone's life, in my life, and just to, you know, but we're so focused sometimes. You know, I had to think already where, you know, we come to church and we want to go in and have prayer, and someone wants to talk, and that's a blessing. And many times I kind of just want to not do that. Yeah, prayer is very important. I want to agree with that, but just to see the word in the heart of God here in this passage, that we have no ill for our neighbor. You know, we need hearts of compassion, not minds only. Hands and feet of Jesus have compassion on others. You know, this Levite here, you could say he was partial. He was partial in what he, the way he treated this this person along the road here. The Levite, he went over and he looked at the man, but he too did not feel a need to do anything. You know, just a lack of compassion. You know, in James 2:9 it says, if you have respect of persons, ye commit sin. And just, he was just partial, you could say. I don't know what kind of, the one laying along the road, what was he? Was he a, you know, Was he a Jew, or was he a Samaritan, or what was he? I don't know, and it don't really matter, but I doubt whether he was a Jew, because I believe he would have been picked up rather soon. But I believe he was one of the, you know, the lower ethnic groups of that day that were just left laying along the way. But James says in James 2:9 that if you have respect of persons, or if you are partial to people, you commit sin. And then Psalm 38:11 says, my loved ones, my friends stand aloof, my sore and my neighbors stand afar off. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my sore, which is my need, and my neighbors stand afar off. And also that verse in James again there, it says, if you fulfill the royal law, according to scripture, thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. You know, just to fulfill that, it says, ye do well. So the bottom line is does my gospel, or does my, what I believe about Jesus affect the way I treat those along the road, along my way? And it's not just about along the highway out there, but it's those I meet and rub shoulders with on a day-to-day basis. And I have found myself wanting in that area. And you could go also into the situation with the conflict of people groups. You know, the Samaritans and the Jews, they were enemies for many years. And John 4:9 says, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so they were, the Samaritans and the Jews despised each other. So, and also, and going to verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. This man came along, and he saw the need of the hour. He saw this man laying along the way, and he saw this need, and what did he do? It says he had compassion on him. It was something he did, and he went to him. First, you know, he did this. We went to him. He didn't just lay something beside him, say, you know, help, I want to help you a little bit, and then run along. But he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Okay, that's the equivalent of he gave him his own car, or put him in his car. And he brought him to the inn. He took him to the hospital and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence. He took out some money, that his hard-earned money. He took his money out, and he gave to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And so this morning, you know, we can look at this. And Luke says here, when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And the Greek word for that, for compassion, is, you know, it refers to the intestines or the bowels. You know, it's the lower, it's the inner part of a person. The compassion, it stirs you to the point where you do something. You know, there's something that compelled him that he could not do anything but help. He didn't look at him and say, you know, well, he's not my brother. He's not the guy I know, go to church with. He does, you know, but he was just, I believe this Samaritan was a man that, you know, he could just be anyone. Our neighbor, you know, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's anyone. That's not necessarily in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, that was, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus said, you know, love your enemies. Don't work any ill toward your enemies. And so it goes much deeper there. You know, compassion is more than a feeling. It does something. So in verse 34, you know, he went, he bound up, he poured oil and wine on his wounds, he set him on his beast, he brought him and took care of him. And put him on his own donkey, you could say. And he walked along the side. And then he paid for it in verse 35 there. He paid for his way. He went the extra mile. Matthew 5:41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile with him, go with him too, Jesus said. And I had to think of that as well as I was considering that. You know, could it be possible that sometimes it's easier to help someone that we don't know as good as some of the people we know better, you know. It shouldn't be that way, but we don't know them as well, and many times it's easier just to help someone that's out there, you know. And so part of the burden for this message is also just that we would have that love and care and compassion one for another. And I see that happening much here, but I believe also that it could be improved. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Happy is he. 1 John 3 there, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. James 2:15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and if one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So the question was that this lawyer came and he tempted Jesus and he said, what must I do to be saved? And then Jesus shared this story with him. And then he told us, he said, go thou and do likewise. So I believe there's something in this that we need to continue to remember and practice. This because he told him that if he does these things, that he will have eternal life. And it was basically what it was love worketh no ill to his neighbor. That's what it was. Let us not forget that what the law demands of us, the gospel produces in us. We don't want to hold up the love for our neighbor as a condition of salvation, but as a fruit of it. Obedience to the law is not the road to heaven, but the pathway which is to be followed by faith, which works by love. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So we, you know, that faith that compels our works to come forth. The injured man, you know, we could go just going across this again, could be all of fallen mankind in our sinful state before we were converted. You know, that robber, he's the accuser of the brethren that whispers in my ear and your ear, maybe at times, about a brother or sister. And I'm just saying, what I'm saying by this is just saying that we need to test the spirits, try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The lawyer could be mankind without the true understanding of God and his word. You know, he wanted to be saved. This man, this lawyer, he had this question. He had been seeing Jesus doing his ministry and following him, and finally he gathered up enough courage to come along, and he just popped a big question. He said, what must I do to be saved? And, you know, the conversation went on from there. You know, the priest could be, you know, religion in its apostate condition, or Christianity that's not living out Jesus' commands completely. The Levite, you know, he was showing partiality or prejudice. And the Samaritan is Jesus. And so praise God for Jesus this morning. And I was also thinking of turning over to Matthew 22. There's a 22 verses 34 to 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, if thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So he's affirming this. I think Luke 10 is the only place where he actually says that, the story of the Samaritan there. But he's telling us here, and he also said, you know, I was going to read that. I think I missed that. Maybe that's over here in about our enemies. You know, how that the standard has been raised. In the Old Testament, it was, you know, love your neighbor. But Jesus said, love your enemies. Mark 12, 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him and said, "The first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and mind. And with all thy strength, and this is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after this durst ask him any questions. So Jesus exalted this teaching of loving the Lord and also of having no ill with your neighbor. And like I said, in the Old Testament, the neighbor was basically associate or people around you because you did have a right to kill your enemies. But in the New Testament, Jesus is speaking this to us about our enemies. And then also, in closing here, in 1 John 5, there's a couple of verses there that I wanted to read regarding, just in closing here. I think it's the first five verses of 1 John 5. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments." See, it puts it in a combination here, that we know that we love God and keep his commandments. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." And that's the good news this morning is, you know, if we're born again, we're not in bondage. It doesn't feel like bondage to obey the Lord. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so just loving our neighbor and applying these things together is the heart of God. And I was just compelled to share on this. I don't have any specific scenario in mind, but I was just blessed by, as I studied through this, how serious, you know, that God looks at this of the, you know, you could say the upward, you know, the God to man and then the man, you know, us together, horizontal and vertical and horizontal, you know, how it all flows together. And it can't just be vertical and it can't just be horizontal. It has to be connected. It has to be connected. And I also want to speak a little bit yet about, you know, the need to see those laying along the way in our own fellowship, in our own homes. There's times when, you know, we are out busy doing things and we forget to look and we forget to remember to care for our own. And I think that's very important, whether it's our wife or whether it's our oldest son or whether it's our youngest daughter, that we would take time to spend with them and that we would, you know, love them and have a relationship that we can, you know, and when you have a relationship with someone, then obedience is not a problem. That's the beautiful thing of a relationship. Because if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he knows that I don't have a problem obeying his commandments. And it's that way with our children. If we have a relationship with them, then they're blessed to obey their parents. It's something they want to do. It just comes natural. And so I just want to lift up that standard before the Lord and say, God bless.